It is God that says, when I have received this Son, I have eternal life. Don't make God a liar. But God grant that every hearer, every listener to this message, may be able to say, thank God, I know that I have eternal life. And why? I've done in obedience what God said. I've received His Son as my Savior and acknowledged He gave Himself for me and cast my sins upon Him to be cleansed with and by His precious blood. And God says, if I believe, I have eternal life. God grant that you may say that, my radio friend. Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, take the truth that we've sought to present. Sanctify and use it to thy glory, the Savior's honor, the blessing of every friend in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever-precious and the worthy name of our beloved and blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus. We welcome you again to the study of the first epistle of John and the closing chapter, chapter 5. Today our reading will be taken from verse 14, and we shall read down through verse 17. John writing by the Holy Spirit and saying, and this is the boldness, which means liberty, which we have towards Him, that if we ask anything of God according to His will, He heareth us. And whatsoever we shall ask, we know that He hears us, for we know that we have the petitions which we desired of Him. If any man seeth his brother sinning a sin not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For those that do not sin unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he should make a request for it. Every unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin, not unto death. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of His precious and His holy word. We do thank God for what we have noted in this chapter to this point, that in the first 5 verses, we had the scripture revealing how we may know a true Christian. And how precious to recognize 'tis the Word of God that sets before us the true evidences of a Christian's life and a Christian's profession. One of the great outstanding facts of John's epistle is his emphasis as well as his demand that true Christian evidence prove the reality of any man, woman, boy or girl who says, I am a Christian. Then we also noted, beginning at verse 6 through verse 13, that a true born-again Christian knows the Son of God. His and her faith has been placed in the person of the Son of God, and that blessed Son of God is the same one who gave Himself upon the cross for our sins, and the evidence of that finished work, the one who believes in the Savior is trusting for his and for her knowledge of the possession of eternal life. May we state with emphasis that John declares emphatically, we cannot, we do not, we shall not have eternal life unless we have the Son of God. I humbly pray that every hearer can say indeed, together with the dear Apostle Paul in Galatians 2 and verse 20, the Son of God is the one who loved me and gave Himself for me. We come now to the section we have read, verses 14 through 17. And here is another certainty that the child of God can say. We know how to pray with confidence. In other words, we know that we can have confidence in prayer when we come to God with our requests. Beloved, I'm sure we must and we do confess that it is the habit of prayer that we certainly need to cultivate in coming into God's presence in order to do His will. One of the great living exponents of prayer in the past century, living chiefly in the preceding century to ours, was a great man of faith by the name of George Muller. He states five conditions regarding prayer, which I'm not going to have time to take up. But one of the great conditions that he emphasizes, he takes from this portion in the Epistle of John, and that is praying according to the will of God. That is what John declares. This is the boldness which we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. My beloved, let me state, we should learn to find and know what his will is. And may we state emphatically, the basis of knowing God's will is this: I can and I must never pray according to my own desire, nor contrary to the will of God. Where can I find the will of God but in the Word of God as He reveals it unto me? Did we not read in the preceding part of this chapter that if we love God, we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous? It is by the reading, the obeying of the Word of God, we thus obtain the knowledge of His blessed and of His holy will. Then may I also emphasize, not only is prayer to be according to the will of God, but when it is according to the will of God, that prayer will also be, whatever the request, for the glory of God, not for the blessing or the glory and the pleasure of one's own self, but for the glory of God. And what confidence this gives, as John says, and please let's note it in verse 15. If we know that He heareth us, when we pray according to His will, we have the confidence He's listening. When we are praying for the glory of God, we have the confidence He hears. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask of Him, we know that we have the petition which we have asked of Him. Please let me repeat again what we suggested. This is praying with confidence. My beloved, I'm afraid we have to confess with shame, many of our prayers do not have this confidence. And the only reason there is lack of confidence can only be because we do not pray according to the will of God. We are not asking for the glory of God. We are not petitioning what we know to be according to the mind of God in the revealed Word. But when we are sure we are doing this, we have the confidence God will answer this prayer. And what a joy it is to recognize that God will answer such prayer that is with confidence. And John goes on particularly to mention, if we may suggest, in the words that follow in verse 16, I'm sure that he's referring to a sinning brother, one for whom you and I perhaps may be praying. As I speak to you, I think of certain ones who have grieved my heart, children of God who are going in a path of sin they should never be walking in. My privilege and my responsibility is to pray for that sinning brother. And John mentions specifically praying for this sinning brother, one whose sin might even lead him not only unto chastening from God the Father, but might even lead him unto death. For John declares there is a sin unto death. Now if you would understand the meaning of this expression, the sin unto death, let me commend to you the reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And particularly, if you will begin to read from verse 23 and read down through verse 30, you will find the dear Apostle Paul upbraiding, condemning the actions of the Corinthian saints in the keeping of the Lord's Supper as they were doing it. It was a tragedy, the manner in which, and the unworthy way, in which they were celebrating that sacred feast, the remembrance of our Lord in his death. They were making it a gluttonous feast of their own, and so on. Now the apostle said, because of this, among you there are many that are sick. It is the hand of God in chastening. There are many among you that are not only sick, but they are weak. And their weakness, spiritually speaking without doubt, was because of their sinful conduct at that sacred remembrance feast. Then the beloved apostle also says, also for this cause many among you are asleep. They sleep. Now what Paul is referring to is the death of believers. We cannot deny from the teaching of the Word of God, it is possible, and sad to state, it has been known, many beloved believers have sinned to such a degree without repenting, and yet without being restored, though the Father may have chastened them, yet in his chastening displeasure, he has removed them from the scene, lest they disgrace him even more. Beloved, this is a sad commentary, but it is true. But now John is saying, we should pray for that sinning brother, and ask life for him, so that he does not go into the ultimate end of sinning away his life and taken away in death. For there is a sin unto death, but you and I are not to pray that that brother should be taken away in death. Now the apostle closes to declare that all unrighteousness is sin. Beloved fellow believer, let you and I take those words to our heart. All unrighteousness, whatever is unlike God, is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. For thank God, not all sin may lead unto death. But there are certain specific, persistent, unusual sins of deep character that unfortunately, and thank God perhaps only occasionally, may be the portion of God's dear children. But we are to with confidence pray for them, for their restoration, if it be the will of God to bring that sinning brother back to himself and to the fellowship of God and his beloved people. But to summarize the section that we have covered, particularly in the opening verses, we know how we can pray with confidence. When we pray according to the will of God and for the glory of God. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit may have given enlightenment and blessing and instruction to all of thy children in the Savior's name for his glory. Amen.